watch flirting with Bitcoin, blah, 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 blah.
You know, Nostr adoption is going to bring on more Bitcoin adoption.
You know those ads they force you to watch? What if you walked away with some money in your pocket?
You and I are in the business of pilling people, whether it's orange pilling or purple pilling.
Yeah, I'm a drug dealer.
Next block is a really big idea.
I really think that California is just a state of pimps.
You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Nostr City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Nostr is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Nostr is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Nostr will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Nostr City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
I'm excited to flirt with you today.
I'm excited for Nostr City to hear us flirt.
Yes. So, we have an exciting announcement. Next week, we are going to the Adopting Bitcoin Conference in El Salvador.
Yeah, a different way of saying that is hopefully on Tuesday when you're hearing this episode, you know that we're going to be there. But yeah, we're going to El Salvador.
Yeah, and we have been invited to actually speak at the conference.
Ramon, our producer, he does Adopting Bitcoin Arnhem in the Netherlands, and he got us in touch with the El Salvador Adopting Bitcoin Conference people, and they liked the idea of Next Block, and so they've invited us to speak.
No, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's really cool, too, because we're focusing mainly on the attention marketplace aspect of Next Block. And the stage that they're having us speak on is the Mises stage, which is, you know, Mises is the Austrian economics guy, talks about how all this fiat stuff is fiat, basically. And so that was really cool to be giving a talk about the attention marketplace on the Mises stage at the Bitcoin conference.
Yeah, it's a little surreal, especially for me. To go from not knowing anything about Bitcoin to then speaking at Bitcoin conference. How did that happen?
You know me.
That's true. That's true. We're a good team though, babe. I'm really excited. I think based on the different feedback we've gotten from people in the past month, Next Block is a really big idea. But the biggest part of the idea of Next Block is the attention marketplace. And we want the attention marketplace to be a global public good. While we are very excited about the Next Block app and all of the additional features that the app is going to have, socializing the attention marketplace, talking it out with people, getting people to understand what we're trying to do, which is establish attention as a commodity, is just so exciting. And so that's going to be the focus of our talk at the Adopting Bitcoin Conference, and I think generally where we're going to be focusing our attention to really understand what this idea is. Ian and I continue to have a lot of conversations around how to describe it and connect all of the different touch points that it's going to impact, that we believe that it's going to impact once it's up and operating.
For the record, attention is already treated as a commodity. Mm-hmm. It's just strip mined or harvested, as we've been saying. And we're trying to make it more local, organic, pasture raised attention.
Artisanal attention.
Artisanal small batch attention commodity. But the important part of it being a commodity is that when you get someone to understand that aspect of it, and then you walk them through what's going on social media and all of these things that we use on a daily basis, then they really do see it as like, wait, they are selling something they don't own. And I think every time I've had this conversation and gotten someone to that point, then everything after that is just like a no-brainer for them. But I think a lot of people, and why the attention marketplace is so non-obvious, is that a lot of people don't think that watching an ad that you don't want to watch is actually stealing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not want to do it, but they don't see it as someone took something from me and sold it to someone else and I didn't get a cut and I'm upset about what's happening, right? Like they don't see all of that happening for that 30-second ad. But in all the conversations that I've had, when I get someone to that point, then they're kind of like, oh, yeah.
But don't you think that's similar in the way that people don't realize that inflation is theft?
It's a variation of that, yes. I think inflation is theft is probably harder to explain because you actually, if you're in a certain scenario, you can benefit from the inflation, right? Like if you have a house, inflation is good. It may not be good for everyone around you, but if you're sitting in a house that's going up 10%, 50% a year, it's good for you. When we're talking about attention, there's no attention inflation that's good for you, right? There's no corollary like that. So once you get everyone to see it that way, or you get anyone to see it that way, then they don't see themselves involved. I'm not going to benefit from what's going on. So I don't care what you change it to versus with a house and you say, oh, we need to keep inflation down. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I need to sell this thing for $2 million so I can go do this other thing I want to do. Don't turn the inflation off just yet. Let me get mine. That's the difference with inflation versus attention.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same thing. But, you know, I feel like you and I are in the business of pilling people. Whether it's orange pilling or purple pilling.
Yeah, I'm a drug dealer.
Yeah. And I think that it's so fascinating talking to people about the problem that the attention marketplace is hopefully going to solve, which is going to let us control the access to our attention from advertisers and ultimately from any content in the digital space, right? That's the idea of NextBlock. What we experience when it comes to money is what most of us were born into. So it's like all we've known. Whereas social media to us is more man-made, you know? Somehow when you ask people, what is money? You know, you get that look on the face like, what do you mean, what is money? Money is money, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with social media, it's like, no, a lot of us, when we were born, social media didn't exist. Even when we started using social media, it's completely different than what it is today. So it's much easier to say, yeah, why is it like that? Yeah, couldn't we change it? And oh, the way we would get paid is through Bitcoin. That makes sense. You know, it's such an easier A to B to C to get to Bitcoin and the use of Bitcoin, where in previous conversations I would have with people about Bitcoin, it was like, okay, I guess it's working for you, but I don't need it. And so it just reinforces my belief that, you know, Nostr adoption is going to bring on more Bitcoin adoption. And I really see the proof of that in the conversations that I'm having with people who are just not in this space at all. And they seem to understand, or they pretend to understand the concept of decentralized communication. That somehow clicks for them a lot faster than money. So it's just a very fascinating space that we're in right now, you and I, right? In the conversations that we're having with people in the Bitcoin space, in the Nostr space, and then in the regular space, which is why today I want to just talk about, I think we're in a very interesting position, you and I, with the conversations that we're having with people in the Bitcoin and Nostr space, and then also just the general world, right? The people who use social media and hate it, but still use it. I want us today to talk about the attention marketplace in terms of how it is possible to do because of Bitcoin technology and what that possibly means for other marketplaces that could spin up, and what that means for how goods and services are exchanged in the future. I think we are setting up a new version of one industry, right? Which is advertising.
Hopefully.
But what else is possible? You know, Bitcoin is supposed to be more than just cold keys and wallets and storage, and you know, it's supposed to be value that's exchanged from peer to peer, right?
Yeah, that's what it said on the white paper.
Exactly. And so this is us getting to that point more directly, more bluntly. And I think it's really exciting, and I think that there are so many more possibilities that are going to get born out of this than even what we are thinking. So we're calling it the attention marketplace. This is a place where people can say, I want to advertise something. This is how much I'm willing to pay for someone to look at my advertisement. And on the other side, you have a person that says, I'll watch an advertisement, but this is how much you got to pay me. And the idea behind this
Yeah, I just want to be clear that the attention marketplace is not only for advertisement.
Oh, say more.
We didn't call it the ad marketplace. We called it the attention marketplace. And so what you're really doing in the attention marketplace is not offering to watch an ad for money or trying to get someone to watch an ad for money. You're literally saying, I have 60 seconds of my time. What are you willing to pay me to put something in front of me? It could be an ad. It could just be your content. It doesn't have to be an ad.
Oh, yes, right? Absolutely. So it's a promoted note.
So yeah, so that's why the underlying Noster-ness of it all is called the promoted note network, right? Because these are all just notes that are flying around on the Noster network. And through the attention marketplace, I can pay to surface that note in front of you at a specific time, aka when the Bitcoin block is mined. So it's a very nuanced difference, but I think that leaves the door open to come up with some other really cool business ideas if you don't look at it as a purely buying and selling ads for your attention system.
So for example,
we have a podcast and we could create a 60-second ad that says, watch Flirting with Bitcoin, blah, 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 for 60 seconds. And then we'll give you 100 sats to listen to this ad, right? That's one way you could do this on the attention marketplace. But I envision a world where, number one, when we're starting, we've limited the amount of attention you can sell to 60 seconds, right? But in the future, there probably won't be a limit on that. So let's say you come in and you say, I want to sell 5 minutes of my attention. Well, now there's probably not a 5-minute ad, right? We could stack 5 minutes worth of ads, which might be 5 or 10 ads, or maybe there's 5 minutes of content that someone's willing to pay for you to watch, right? Like, one of the things that we are seeing with content creators dealing with these days is not so much the established content creators, it's how do I become a content creator? Right now, it's like you have to go viral, you have to go viral, you have to go viral. Okay, cool. Just because you went viral doesn't mean your stuff is technically good. I think we all understand because of the algorithms that you don't really know why something went viral and you don't even really have a say in whether or not something goes viral. But with the attention marketplace, if you believe your content is good, you can pay to put it in front of everyone else, just like the biggest companies in the world, right? And that equals the playing field so that you don't get stuck with a bunch of corporate plants as the only people that are now creating content. People don't really talk about this. A lot of content creators, there are some that are original and created themselves, but a lot of content creators these days are just plants.
Oh, yeah. They have whole teams behind them. They have marketing teams. They have agents, all of that, just as if they were working in the traditional advertising space.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that in particular, but that is what they are forced to do to keep moving forward, right? Like, if you want to be able to compete with everyone else, you need to actually start letting people like eat off of you as the industry does so that they will continue to push you through the machine. And with the attention marketplace, if you want to stay quote unquote independent, you now have an alternative to get your message out there that doesn't rely on the algorithm and it doesn't rely on relationships with Google or relationships with Instagram or whoever is like, oh, we want you on our platform. That's what it's come to these days. And I think just like we saw the quality of writing in magazines go down as everyone moved to TV, then everyone from TV moved to cable, and then everyone from cable moved to YouTube. Like, the quality on YouTube is going down. Like, the quality of original creators is going down because they're just being inundated with the machine. And on top of it, now the machine has AI. So, like, the content creators are just being flooded out of the ecosystem. And so I believe the attention marketplace will give them one way to compete, number one. And then number two, Nextblock gives you a way to compete because those other entities can't force themselves on you.
Someone listening to this might say, well, I'm not a content creator. Like, why do I care? I don't care. I don't want to watch ads.
But you don't have to. That's the simple answer, right? If you don't want to watch, if you don't want to watch ads on Nextblock, you don't have to. You go into your settings and you literally turn them off. And the reason why we can do that is because of how the attention marketplace works. When an advertiser or whoever that wants to put their content into the network is trying to buy your attention, they have to actually give you Bitcoin. So if you tell us, I don't want to watch ads, there's no reason for us to try to force you to watch ads and waste money to harvest your attention, right? So if you don't want to watch ads, turn it off. Great. Saves us money, saves advertisers money, and that money will be distributed to people who have opted in and are willing to, quote unquote, participate in the attention marketplace. So everyone wins. You don't have to.
And you had some number that you threw around, but what's your guess for how many people who sign on, let's just say to our beta, what percentage will actually opt into ads? What's your guess?
Well, I hope everyone in the beta opts in for testing purposes only. But, you know, I look at it like in a weird way, you know, I try to find a lot of real world examples of what I think is going to happen. And I look at it very similar to retirement accounts. So they did this big study sometime between 2001 and today. I don't know when it was, but I read it. And they were saying how people who work at companies who have retirement accounts that are opt in, most people don't opt in. And so they get to retirement. I guess people used to work at places for 30 years, whatever. And when they get to retirement, they have nothing because they didn't opt in. Maybe they opted in the last 10 years of their career versus people who worked at opt out companies, AKA you were automatically opted into a retirement account. They started contributing to your retirement account on day one. And then you had to decide, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And they, most of those people ended up in a much better retirement position because for the simple fact of they were putting money away 20, 30 years before they actually needed it. And that's the compounding growth of that kind of carried them through. And so I think the attention marketplace kind of works the same way, where there will be a bunch of people that by default, our system is opt-in. We're not forcing anyone to watch ads. We're not going to force you to flip a switch to say, I don't want to watch ads. But I think that a lot of people who have come to Noster saying, I don't want to watch ads, they will immediately turn it off, even if they're just trying out NextBlock, right? But they will be at a disadvantage for many different reasons to all the people who opt in as soon as possible.
Tell me those disadvantages.
Well, number one, you're not getting Bitcoin, right? So let's just say hypothetically, I'm going to use round numbers because we don't know what the price of attention is going to be yet. I have like a rough estimate in my head based on the numbers that people spit out when we talk about this. But let's just say a dollar, which is a very high number, right? Let's just say every time you watch an ad, you got a dollar's worth of Bitcoin today. And let's just say we know that the average person spends, I'm going to round up and say 5 hours a day on social media, which is a very high number, but there are people in that range. So, okay, you get $5 a day in Bitcoin using NextBlock. $5 a day times 30 days is over $100 a month. Times 12 is over $1,000 a year. It's $1,000 in Bitcoin that you are not getting. $1,000 in Bitcoin today is like 1 million sats.
Well, that's if you are on legacy social media. But if you're on Noster, like you weren't giving your attention away anyways.
No. It's not about giving your attention away. It's about this is a new revenue stream, right? Like Bitcoiners are always talking about, oh, I'm going to work at McDonald's when Bitcoin is pumping. I just need something to like get me from day to day. Okay, cool. You could do that.
I didn't know Bitcoiners say that.
It's a whole joke. I mean, even Bukele was like posting pictures of himself wearing like a McDonald's hat, and all the Bitcoiners were doing it like 5-6 years ago. I don't know if they're still doing it, but every time there's a bull run coming around, everyone's like, okay, get the McDonald's head out, whatever. The point that I'm getting at is there's always this joke of, I just need a little bit of money to get me through this bull run and then I'll be set, right? Like that's the general pun.
Yeah. And then this, I wish I had stacked more you're right. It is, if you are a Bitcoiner and you believe that every sat helps. Mm-hmm. This is another way to stack sats. That's true.
Exactly. And so the core idea of this before like even calling it the attention marketplace was you literally mine Bitcoin with your attention. Mm-hmm. That's why we tied it to the Bitcoin blockchain, because it's your attention every new block that gets you a little bit of Bitcoin. You don't have to have a miner plugged in. You don't have to join these like virtual mining pools where you don't own the hardware, but you put some money in and you get some money out and all that fun stuff. No, it's literally like if you're willing to trade your eyeballs for 60 seconds, you will get some Bitcoin.
So this is what I mean when I say that NextBlock is such a big idea. We have not used that phrase, mine Bitcoin with your attention. in a minute. We used to, but there's just so many different angles to this. But I think this is a really important one and one that we should really push when we are in El Salvador, because in our world, right, in our daily lives, Ian and I, we are the only Bitcoiners. We're definitely the only people who are in Oster. So everyone we're talking to and explaining this idea is from the perspective of someone who is on legacy social media dealing with dollars. But yeah, talking to Bitcoiners, I think that that is this really powerful statement to make, because I don't necessarily want to watch ads and get paid for it. But I want to be a part of a movement that shows this is how people should be advertised too. You should respect people's time, respect people's attention, let them decide, because I believe we'll see through this experiment if someone advertises something to someone else on the attention marketplace, that is a show of respect, and that becomes a more traditional experience of trade that comes from how things used to be done centuries ago, just in humanity, where it's like, I respect you. I have something to offer. Would you like to have it?
The foundation of that idea being, I don't have to trade with you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think we live in this world now where like people walk into 7-Eleven and they're just like, whatever, I got money. And whatever is in here is for sale. And that's the extent of it. And then you tell someone like, no, you can't buy that. And they lose their mind. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why not? It's like, because you don't respect my store. You don't respect me. Like, whatever the reason is, I can say no. Now, we've had a United States Supreme Court say that sometimes that's true and other times it's illegal, I guess. I don't know. I say this lovingly, but the United States is a very new country. And the rules that are established here are very new in like the global sense of like, what are the rules? And so when you have trade or commerce that's not based on respect, and it's not based on that mutual understanding of you don't have to do this, but you're still choosing to do this, we get a distorted market in general. And then you end up with, you'll just take it to the logical extreme of that, which is you get this distorted money where it's like everyone wants the dollar because it's the only thing you can actually trade with. Mm. But that's not true. It's just a perception that's been created. And you have some people that understand it, just like some people understand Bitcoin and don't. And the people that don't understand it are like scrambling, fighting, and doing whatever they can to get their hands on dollars. Meanwhile, Bitcoiners are like, I'll take the Bitcoin and wait. You can do all your hustling. You can do all the hustling that you want to do to get as many dollars as you want. And I will just take a little bit of Bitcoin and wait.
The waiting part is so fascinating to me when it comes to the attention marketplace, because what happens when you've set the price of your attention and then the price of Bitcoin changes 6 months later or a year later or 2 years later? And how often does that price of attention that we will be publicly tracking, making available for everyone to see, how often will that shift? And does it shift in specific countries? I forget what country it was recently. I'm very upset that I cannot remember, but their ratio of their currency to sats is now 1-to-1. You know what country it is?
No, but I know the what you're thinking about where you saw that.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Odell posted it on Noster.
Look, there's a lot of places where that's happening.
I know a lot of people. There is a lot of places when that's happening.
Quex talks about how the shilling is like not as worth as a sat or something like that.
Yeah, in one of his songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as that's happening, what then happens to the global price of attention, whereas the localized price of attention? I just think it's going to be so fascinating. And like I keep saying, this is a little surreal, right? Like that we came up with this idea that this is going to be a company that we are going to be running, we are going to build the attention marketplace and then put it out. But what is this all going to look like in 5, 10, 15 years? It's really exciting to think about. I just don't think we can possibly predict what's going to happen. It's a little scary.
I know one thing that's definitely going to happen. Everything, including your attention, is going to trend towards zero against Bitcoin. Mm. So if you don't opt into the attention marketplace, hypothetically, today, you're only going to get less Bitcoin for your attention in the future. That's a guarantee.
The sooner you start selling your attention, or you sell your attention at the price you deserve.
Yes. Yes, basically, right? Like you sell your attention at the price you deserve. But this goes back to respect, right? So right now you're advertised to in a very disrespectful, non-consensual way, right? Like, we were watching whatever we're watching last night on the network that has ads, and you're just like, look away from the ads. And it's like, it is what it is, right?
But I got to explain this. So growing up, my father was adamantly against us watching advertisements. Like, it was just, it would be the ad break when we'd be watching a show. There used to be like two ad breaks in every 30-minute episode. Now it's, the ad breaks are much longer, sometimes more often. It's unpredictable, right? But my dad would say, like, go to the restroom, go get a cup of water, go talk to someone in the house. Like, do not sit and watch this advertisement. So sometimes, and more recently, for some reason, all of our streaming services that we pay for have ads on them now, right? And Ian will be like, what was this advertisement? Because we haven't seen advertisements in years, television advertisements, right? We see internet advertisements. Guys, TV ads have lost their minds. They're so bad. They're so ridiculous. And Ian will say, oh my God, this ad was just so crazy, or he'll make a joke about it. And I'll just turn to him and I'll say, what are you talking about? And he's like, weren't you watching? And I'll say, no, my dad has trained me to tune out advertisements.
Yeah, it's like me and Gmail. I learned how to block the ads in Gmail. I never looked over on that right panel.
Yeah.
But no.
Once you trained your brain.
Yeah.
So jokingly, I told Ian, I said, do you want to get trained to not look at advertisements in the middle of TV shows? So I just started yelling at him every time an advertisement would come on. And I would say, don't look. Because that's what my dad used to do to me. But highly recommend, if you have children, this is a great way to train them to not look at advertisements. Because my brain truly tunes out and does not intake anything. But that's not true on my phone. On my phone, I watch those ads. So
probably because you don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, you can't get to the rest of your stuff unless you watch the ads.
And I'm definitely more addicted to my handheld screen than the big screen. So my eyes just are glued. So we need the attention marketplace, babe. It's my only hope.
Tangent aside, the idea of respect in advertising and respect in trade, I'm not going to say that all brands and all companies are like this because, we hope to, in theory, work with at least some of them. I would say everyone, people who use social media and streaming services and stuff like that, and the people who are advertising on those platforms have all been trained that this is how it works, right? You are going to pay me, Google, to take advantage of these people to force ads on them, right? And they've kind of accepted that because they refuse to give me, Google, $8 a month so that I don't do that to them, right? Like, that's what subscription services are now. It's literally pay to not be abused. But this idea of like respect in trade, I think, is a very important concept that when you bring it into the world of quote unquote advertising, there are still actors in that world that want to behave better. They just don't have options. And so there are bad actors in that world that are like, I don't care whether they want to see it or not. Like, I'm giving you $1 million, put me in front of them. But there are, I think, a lot of good actors in that space. And if they were given an opportunity to do something different, to signal that they are, it's not even virtual signaling. It's just like, look, if this is how you guys want to be advertised to, I'll come over here and participate in that as well. I think that, quote unquote, the attention marketplace is going to allow those good actors to surface themselves and self-select themselves, just like Fountain did for people who are interested in Bitcoin and podcasts. If you're really interested in earning money from listening to podcasts, you will eventually find Fountain. Like, you will self-select into that group. If you're interested in like not being advertised to, you will eventually find Noster. And if once you're on Noster, that flywheel gets going for you, I believe you will eventually find Nextblock or other, hopefully, Noster clients that have integrated the attention marketplace, where you're like, okay, this makes more sense. And again, we've said this a lot, it creates an opportunity cost. Because when you're on those other places now and you are bombarded with ads, not only will you say, what the heck was that I just watched, if you watch it, but you'll be like, you'll have a number in your head that was worth. Because you've, in theory, set your price somewhere. So you're like, they just stole 100 sats from me. Or even better, when you see an ad, what's the price of attention? They just stole that money from me. Like, that's the mental shift that I hope that the attention marketplace can create in people, is there's a number that you can check that every time you see an ad that you didn't want to see, that's how much money was stolen from you. That's how much they're actually harvesting from you. And we don't have that now. And so we just go through the world. There's like ads on buses. I got to pay to get on the bus But there's still an ad on the bus. They don't want to charge me more for the bus. They just want to abuse my eyeballs. With in Washington, D.C. right now, on Metro buses, there are ads for this company that literally makes drones that kill people. Mm-hmm. That is the whole business. They make the best drones at killing people. And there are ads on buses just driving by. And if you don't know that's what that company is, you don't know that's a company about killing drones. But I know it's a company about killing people, right? It's not like... it's not like even like Lockheed Martin. They'll put like a fighter jet in the ad, and it's like it's implied we could kill people with this, but it could also just, you know, do other. It just flies, you know. Yeah, it doesn't have to kill people.
Air show.
But the drone is like, I have one purpose. Mm-hmm. I take off and I land on someone. That's my only purpose. And they're plastered all over the city. I'm not even going to say the name of the company, but if you know who they are,
you know.
They're on all the buses here in DC. Do the people who see that ad go by have a say in that? No, because, you know, someone else decided we're going to put this ad on a bus. And there are places that you can't actually stop that from happening. But at least now you know what your eyeballs were worth.
And obviously the Next Block app is not up and running yet. But if you're listening to this, hopefully you've been thinking about advertisements a little bit more and you've been noticing when you're being advertised to and how often that is. One game that I love to play with Ian, back to television, because Ian and I love watching television, is spotting ads in the TV shows and movies that we watch. And so all of these streaming services, the content that they're producing has advertisements within their products. So you'll be watching a TV show, they'll pour, you know, a box of cereal. If that cereal has a brand name on it, that's an advertisement for that cereal. It's used to be much more obvious than it is today. It's so integrated today that they'll just say one word, which is like the name of the company, and it'll be in a positive light. And that's an advertisement. We have no idea how much they paid for it. We don't even realize that's how they are like brainwashing new products and companies into our minds. We've been watching Silicon Valley, which is about a tech startup that's trying to make it in the tech space, right? Dealing with a lot of different common pitfalls of that industry. And that show aired about 8 years ago.
A while ago.
Give or take. And so watching that show, there are so many mentions, very quick and fast mentions of different technology companies that were new at that time that were incredibly popular out of nowhere, very suddenly, probably with like massive VC funding, that are apps that we all use every single day now. And it's so fascinating to see how they were presenting those companies as legitimate, successful technologies. When now we know, like Uber, for example, what was Uber doing 8 years ago? They weren't making a profit. They were trying to be a market disruptor. They had VC funding. They went to HBO, paid for them to mention Uber a million times on Silicon Valley and have them, you know, pull up the app. All of those things, right? This product placement is one that I don't necessarily know how we could ever solve. We are willingly watching these shows, but the state of advertising is so predatorial and exploitative. Like you're saying, you're sitting on a bus and there's advertisements shown to you, even though you've paid to be on that bus. It's subsidized if it's a public bus, but still, you're watching a TV show. There's so many ads embedded into that TV show that's like literally brainwashing you to think that, well, this is how society is operating, because that's why we watch television, right? It's supposed to like life imitate art. And so we're like, oh, everyone's using Uber. I guess Uber is an app that everyone uses. I should download Uber, right? They're doing this to us constantly all day long, even in songs. We know that corporations work with different artists so that they mention their products as lyrics in their songs. So the attention marketplace is not going to solve these problems. What do you think about that? Do you think that we'll get to a place where people will say, I'm not going to watch anything that has product placements that I haven't opted into?
I think once we put a value on people's attention, product placement will be also offensive.
Mm.
Again, it all goes back to there's no alternative. Hopefully it starts small with the actual ads themselves, but like you said, if you know what you're looking for, it's not hard to see the product placement, right? Like, I mean, the episode we watched last night, and here we are talking about Silicon Valley, but like the episode we watched last night was like, It was a Tesla ad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Bitcoin ad. It was a crypto ad. And it was whatever the other company that was in. Oh, and it was an ad for like manufacturing in China.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was an ad. It was a the whole episode was just one big ad. Obviously, it was like the end, I guess like the last. It's technically the last episode of the show. Then they do like a little mini series for season six. But the idea of product placement just becomes offensive when it's like, I see what you're doing. Now that there's an option, you know, there's another option for me. You don't have me trapped in this world where like, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And so once there's an alternative, then I think the bad actors will behave better. I think the good actors will be rewarded. And I think people will be able to make an actual value judgment, which is what Austrian economics and praxeology is all about, is people are constantly making decisions. And that set of decisions that entire humanity is making is what creates our economy. And it's these bad actors, such as Google and the social media companies and the TV networks and the radio stations and everyone else who's been centralized communication over the years. It's those bad actors that have disrupted that signal. And they've allowed people to, let's just say, overwhelm that signal and try to convince the world that this is the only option when it comes to, let's just say, a smartphone, right? Like it's Apple or you're poor. Like, well, most of the world doesn't have an Apple phone. So you just live in this like fantasy world of advertising, AKA propaganda. And, you know, the thing about the attention marketplace that I think is so exciting is that once it's kind of out there, it's very similar to Bitcoin, where like we don't really control it anymore. And so who knows what someone's going to price their attention in Singapore versus Hong Kong versus somewhere in India versus somewhere in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. And I have no control over that. But in theory, the market will take over and start matching these people that we might not even know. They might not even be using Nextblock or the Nextblock attention marketplace. They'll just be using the technology for their own thing. And that's cool too. But once people have an alternative, then the existing system will have to adjust. The existing system adjusting is what I'm most looking forward to, because the minute you see that adjustment, it's basically an acknowledgement that, okay, yeah, you got us.
I loved what you said, that like Bitcoin, we won't be able to control the attention marketplace once it's up and running. It is like a little grandiose of us to compare the attention marketplace to Bitcoin, but it sometimes feels that way.
It's Noster similar, right? Like no one controls Noster.
Mm-hmm.
Fiat Joff has some opinions and mm-hmm. he sees people do things and he has opinions on how they're being done, but he can't step in and tell you like, that's not how I would do it. I mean, he'll say it, mm-hmm. but like he probably doesn't even care about most things,
yeah.
right? Same thing with Bitcoin. I mean, Satoshi Nakamoto, if they're still alive, like they see what's going on. They're not popping out of the shadows being like, that's not what I envision. They just stay in the shadows and say, okay, cool. Like no harm, no foul. Everything is still technically working. And the attention marketplace and what we're doing, it's not really anything proprietary. It's just hasn't been done with these pieces of technology before. I think that it's not complicated. It will definitely get complicated in the future, but the initial version of it is very straightforward. And if we can convince / prove that people are willing to price their attention reasonably and advertisers are willing to buy that attention that's priced reasonably, then I think other people will take it and run with it and do their own versions of it. But Nextblock will always have its own attention marketplace. Will be first in theory. So there'll some market mover, first mover advantage to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like we own the social graph. So people will be able to take their entire friend network to previous block if and when that pops up, right? Previous block pops up, copies everything we do, and then just says, you know, we're gonna splash an extra 10% on whatever you priced your attention at. Yeah, people will go over there, sure, probably. Until they find out that whatever that extra money is coming from is that's the scam, right?
Yeah.
Like, or they'll figure out where it's coming from and they'll say they don't want to participate. It's just about having options. And the idea that there are so few options is part of capitalism. Like when people complain about capitalism and they lump in, I won't say the good with the bad, because there are some good things, but they lump it all together. And I think one of the bad parts of capitalism is that it inevitably leads to less choice. Mm-hmm. It's presented as though it leads to more choice. And in the beginning, there's always more choice in the beginning, right? How many cryptos are there, mm-hmm. right? Technically, there was only one. It was only Bitcoin. And then all the choice came. And that's because in capitalism, specifically how the world of capitalism that we've been living in, as long as there's no barrier to entry, you're going to get unlimited competitors. But capitalism can't survive with unlimited competitors. It's not designed for there to be like a bunch of small winners. It's designed for there to be 1 to 3 to 5 large winners. It's designed to support the oligarchy. And so, yeah, if you are someone like Mark Zuckerberg in your college dorm room and come up with Facebook and there's no competitor to Facebook and you grow to be the first Facebook, yeah, cool. But you just eventually become part of an oligopoly with Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. There's only like 5 or 6 of them, right?
Facebook bought Instagram.
But you know what I'm saying? Like
it proves it. So they literally bought their competitor.
So it doesn't actually like competition. Whereas trade, not capitalism, trade likes competition. Because trade is, if you're willing to sell it to me for less and I'm okay with why it's less, cool. That keeps everyone else in check.
Capitalism can be a dirty word, right? It's a very provocative word. Sometimes you bring it up, people will say, well, define it. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? You need it. You need homeless people. Capitalism means homeless. You know, you just get these like crazy conversations that come out. So not to knock capitalism and not to promote it, but when they're talking about the free market, what is the market, right? It's usually a centralized market or it's a couple of centralized markets. Whereas here, we're establishing a decentralized attention marketplace that we're not going to control. Everyone will have the same set of rules. And so theoretically, capitalism should shine in an actual decentralized free marketplace versus the centralized marketplace where attention currently is a commodity that like is being exploited. I think presenting it in that way could possibly appease the people who like capitalism as well as the people who dislike capitalism. Because I think it just becomes this like nuanced discussion that's not appreciating or acknowledging the context that everything is happening in. Whereas now we are establishing a new context. But like you said, we're not going to control it. And I think like the Fiat Jeff piece is so fascinating to me because I don't understand most of his posts. They're very technical. But yeah, like the approach that he takes in that he doesn't say, well, I created Noster. It was my idea. This is how I want to do it. He just sees himself as somebody who created this for everyone else to figure out how it's going to get used. And it'll go where it goes. And that is really, I think, the approach that you initially wanted to take with what we were calling the Promoted Note Network, now the attention marketplace. It's freeing in a sense. While we don't know what's going to happen and we hope only good comes out of this, maybe some bad will come out of it too. But for us to say, we want to build this. We want everyone to watch how it's built. We want everyone to participate in it. And then it's for everyone.
Watching Silicon Valley really, I mean, I've watched that show a couple of times now. This one is probably the funniest because I see characters differently. And I know we were talking about this the other night where one of the characters on the show, Ehrlich Bachman, who's like their, I don't know, he runs a house. He's got the incubator. They're all like living in his house, like working on their ideas or whatever. Fundamentally, he's just a pimp.
Yeah, that's what you keep saying.
Like fundamentally, he's just a pimp and he's got a bunch of dudes living in his house. That's his stable.
Like, go make daddy money.
Go out there, make me a hit. And I want my cut if it becomes a hit. And, you know, when I was watching it this time, I was just like, he's so worthless. Like, what does he actually contribute in this world of ideas? He doesn't even know what's going on half the time. He just knows that this is what I got to do to work this angle of this world, which is the venture capital world. And so Bachman is just one pimp in a city of pimps, and they're called venture capitalists. Mm-hmm. And in the last episode we watched, the woman who's funding the company of the show that you've been following this whole time, she basically like turns on them. You never thought that she had their back, but just to watch like the business sense of it all, to be like, well, it makes more business sense for me to do this than to work with you for reasons. I didn't live in Silicon Valley. I had friends who moved to Silicon Valley. None of their ideas worked out. I didn't live in LA. I have friends that moved to LA. I only know one person that actually became remotely successful from going to LA. I really think that California is just a state of pimps. And they're all just selling people this idea that you can get rich really fast if you come out here. It doesn't even have to work. It just has to appear.
Yes.
It just has
to. That's the craziest part. They're just selling ideas. And not to knock our pitch deck, which I think is really good. I think our presentation materials, our website is really good. But it really just seems like that's enough to get millions of dollars.
I mean, I don't know about today, but definitely in 2010, 11, 12 for sure. But the point that I'm getting at is the thing that's different about Bitcoin and Noster from what we would just call Silicon Valley, but I would say that the tech industry as a whole, there's not a lot of VCs. There's more VCs in the Bitcoin world now, but there aren't that many like Bitcoin only company VCs. They're just investing in nonsense still. And there are even fewer Noster VCs, right? So in the Noster and Bitcoin world, you kind of have to have something first that works. Either it's been proven out by someone else and you're just going to do that, but a little different, or, you know, like it's not just to throw a pile of money at an idea. And so with the attention marketplace in particular, like with Nextblock, the attention marketplace, the neighborhoods, the blocks, all this fun stuff, it's like watching Silicon Valley is just reminding me like none of this really, like none of the presentation matters. Like it's good and it's important to like try to convey the idea, but until the app actually exists and someone can touch it and use it and then point to things and say, why is this like this? Or what about this? Or what about that? Like the ideas are easy. I think it's a cool idea. I think that people will enjoy it. I think that people will get it even more once it exists. The contrast of that, like if we were working on Nextblock in Ehrlich Bachmann's incubator, he would be dragging us around the valley, raising tens of millions of dollars with a PowerPoint presentation, right? And then we end up with like, okay, here's not even a lot of money. Here's just a little bit of money. Scramble and build something so that my investment that I contributed nothing to, because it's not even my money. I borrowed this from a bank in New York. So, you know, I need to make a return so I can pay them back. I need you to do something fast for me. And it's just this whole, it's the whole broken incentive chain of everyone is just scamming everyone. All the way back to the person who loaned the VCs the money in the first place, who's the bank who just created the money out of thin air. That is literally the entirety of Silicon Valley and Hollywood. It starts with a printed pile of money in a bank, and it funnels itself all the way down to Ehrlich Bachmann in a house in Palo Alto that's fallen apart, and he's pimping out five guys who got a relatively decent idea. That is impossible on a Bitcoin standard. You can't create it out of thin air. And B, everyone who has the Bitcoin is like, I need to see something before I put any money in. So everyone just becomes more skeptical, more like, I'll wait. And that's what I was saying is like Bitcoiners, yeah, there'll be people who don't opt into the attention marketplace. But I think there'll be a ton of people who are like, okay, I can watch an ad and get 100 sats here, 100 sats there, 100 sats here, 100 sats there. I'll wait. 1,000 sats will stack up. 10,000 sats will stack up. There's people who
don't have any.
There's people who don't have any, but like, let's just say, how much do you think 10,000 sats will be worth in 4 years? Right? Don't answer, but like, how much was 10,000 sats worth 4 years ago? Like, the number is increasing. And so it's becoming hard to get your hands on sats. It's becoming harder to get into the mining game. It's becoming hard. It's just becoming harder to get your hands on Bitcoin. And here comes this thing that says, hey, you know those ads they force you to watch? What if you walked away with some money in your pocket? Like, it is a no-brainer. And oh, by the way, when you get sick of it, you can turn it off, right? It's not like you're forced to do it. That, I think, is bringing it full circle through all of that. That is an idea. I would argue its time has come and we have the technology to do it. Will we get it 100% right the first time? I doubt it. But the core idea of you set the price of your attention, an advertiser comes in and says, I'm willing to pay that. There's a fair exchange of value. You watch the ad, you get the money, they get your attention. Maybe they get your NPUB or whatever they can like market to you later. I don't know. We'll work out the details. But the point is that that fair exchange of value fundamentally cannot be stopped, right? If we try to do this with PayPal, for example, well, then just PayPal can change their policy and say, we don't allow this to happen. Okay, PayPal, I guess we'll use Cash App. And then Cash App changes their policy, yeah, right?
These are too many microtransactions. Sure. The processing fee is too high.
They'll have a million reasons why. And at the end of the day, it's all because someone picked up the phone and told them to say that, because they're all part of that oligopoly. But with Nostr and Bitcoin, there is no oligopoly. It's just individuals making a decision. And that is the world that, when people think they're talking about capitalism, they think that's what they're talking about, that I have all these choices, mm-hmm. and I'm making a choice in this marketplace, when they don't realize that, like, okay, you can't get certain products in the United States, period. So is that a free market? Like, not dangerous products, just products. Like, you can't get socks made from, let's just say, Tanzania. They're just not allowed to be sold in the States, right? I'm not saying that's true, just using that as an example. If that is true, and there is a product like that, I don't know what it is, that's not a free market.
I mean, I think you're, tariffs. Like, that's not a free market.
But here's the thing. Tariffs, in my opinion, are okay. You're allowed to do that. You just have to deal with the consequences. And so what the United States, particularly the West, but the United States with the dollar has done is say, well, we have the market that everyone wants to sell their products in. And so we're going to bully you / use our financial power to say, if you don't play by our rules, then we're going to slap tariffs on you. And that's going to make your products more expensive in our country. You're more than welcome to do that. But when you are keeping some of the best products in the world out of the market for your people, there are going to be consequences to that.
I want a Huawei phone.
A highway phone?
Isn't it Huawei?
Huawei?
How do you pronounce it?
Hua.
Oh. I want a Huawei phone.
Do you?
I do. I don't know. I think I do. I can't have one, so I want it. I want their headphones. I know they have the best headphones.
Do they?
They're supposedly, yeah.
According to who?
According to the internet. TikTok?
A sponsored ad, perhaps?
No, these are people who are reviewing different products that are available outside of America. Look. So also American products. And they have advanced earphone development.
Yeah, exactly.
Headphone development.
I'm not saying that Huawei doesn't make good products or bad products or anything like that.
I'm just saying I can't buy them.
The reason why you cannot buy those products, yes, tariffs, yes, all of that, but it's purely a function of how money works in the world. So because there are these currencies that are controlled by countries, that is how they control their market. But if you have Bitcoin, you can buy Huawei products.
I have Bitcoin.
Then you can get your hands on all of that stuff.
All right, babe. Well, I'm sold on the attention marketplace, so I think I'm going to sign up for your beta.
That's great.
I think we have a lot of work to do, so that's enough flirting for today. We gotta go get ready for El Salvador.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M pub, and just start with that.